Well, here we are, 2010, a new year, a new decade. Have you made any resolutions? Have you set any targets to achieve this year? Our guest this morning is the Reverend Dr. David Perry, who is chair of the Lincoln and Grimsby Methodist District. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Les. Happy New Year and to your listeners.
I was told off slightly by the Bishop of Lincoln a couple of weeks ago.
Surely not.
I said in a week's time, yeah, it'll all be over, meaning, you know, sort of Christmas Day on the Friday and then by the weekend. Because, of course, this is still Christmas. So are
it
you
is.
Doing Christmas or are you doing New Year at the moment or are you doing both?
Oh, it's a bit of both, isn't it? I mean, Epiphany, that's the thing today, I think. It's the wise men, the magi, they sort of trot along after the event, don't they? They come to have a look. And so that's what we're celebrating today. And actually, it's a pretty good thing to celebrate, if you think about it, because they're the people who aren't in the know. They're the ones who are, well, they're waiting for knowledge of God. And so that's quite a challenge for the church, I think, as we start a new year. So we can have it both ways, Les. Let's make sure that those who haven't yet got God can try and get God this year. That's not bad, is it, really?
But quite a difficult challenge for you to sort of, you know, get into people's lives and, you know,
it is. I mean,
persuade them to get God.
I mean, yeah, we talk about New Year resolutions, and apart from my jeans being really too tight this morning and uncomfortable, so I've got to get back to running and exercise. And I will do that. That is a resolution I will achieve. But yeah, it is, yeah, for the whole church, I think, particularly in these difficult times, we're really challenged to do that. And let's give us our due. I think whichever of the denominations you look at in Lincolnshire, we're all making really good strides to really live our faith and live the gospel in new and engaged ways in our communities so that we really make a difference, so that we're not shut away like an unwrapped Christmas present, but actually, you know, we're obvious Christian people are engaged in their communities, making a real difference. And that's actually what it's about. It's a way of life. It's not a set of propositions when you actually come down to it.
And do you feel positive about 2010? Because when I look at the newspapers over the last few days, I've been reading about airport security. You know,
yep.
You're going to go through even more security. You know, they're going to be able to look at the whole body through their cameras. Does that depress you?
I mean, we're going into a new decade, and the outlook can be pretty grim, I think, if I'm really honest with you. You're looking at the way the news is going, and I say that not least for the absolute shambles and debacle that there was in Copenhagen over the
we'll come on to that later on.
The failure to get climate change. So political will, it's not looking good. And we've got a general election coming up as well. So the stakes are really high. And I think it's for Christians now is the time, actually, to stand up for what we think really matters. Bishop David, I was chatting to David a couple of weeks ago. Bishop David, you know, he's really keen on asking that question. What really matters? What really matters? And in a year of a general election, that's the question. And I want Christians to get engaged with that question. What really matters in our community? What are the values that are important to us about how we live together? If we get those sorts of questions right, then there is a lot of hope for the future, Les. Sadly, we always seem to get those sorts of questions wrong, not least in international politics and in the way that we answer some of the big questions of the day that are in front of us. You know, we said climate change, there's energy use, there's peace, there's security. So there's the debt and the budget deficit and how we deal with that. All these huge questions actually come down to how you value people and what value you put on people. Get that question right, and if it's people that really matter, as Rowan Williams was saying in his New Year's address, then actually the future will be hopeful. But if we start sidelining people, devaluing people, say they don't matter, then I think we're in for a pretty grim old ride, really.
Looking at some of those issues, you know, you say you're valuing people, and yet we're sending a lot of young people out to Afghanistan,
sure.
Less to Iraq, I suppose.
Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, it's just depressing when you see so many people, you know, dying out there.
And yes,
people are
absolutely.
Saying, should we be out there? Is that going to be something you'll be looking at as an election?
It is,
issue?
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, that whole issue is one which, when you see the coffins come back through Wooden Bassett, I defy anybody not to be moved. And the parents who've got young men and women serving out in Afghanistan, in Iraq, you know, every day for them, when they hear a news bulletin, it must be absolute torture and agony. And you have to ask yourself, well, why are we there? And we're fortunate, I think, our synod coming up in the spring, we've got Pete Lee, who's a Methodist minister and a lecturer at RAF Cranwell, coming. He's an expert in war studies and the ethics of war, you know, to lead us in our thinking on Iraq, a just war question. And there are huge questions. I mean, history would seem to say that anybody who goes into Afghanistan is going to have a rough ride, because it's one of the toughest places on the planet in to try and win a conflict. You just look at history, and the lessons are always there. You know, European powers go in, they get kicked out. So there have to be more sustainable, just solutions. And ultimately, peacemaking is really, really tough. And it comes down to being willing to sit, if you can, with the other and trying to build some bridges of understanding and trust.
And that, you're talking about Christians sort of campaigning for what they believe. Yep. Some Christians will believe, yeah, we should be there doing a job.
Yep.
And a lot of other Christians will be saying, look, bring them back, they shouldn't be there.
Because it's such a complicated issue, isn't it? I mean, we're told that they're there to make things more secure for us. I mean, I think that's a moot point. It goes right back to the Iraq War, doesn't it? And the sort of neocon argument about regime change and oil and all of those security issues. We do live in a dangerous world, but you have to ask yourself sometimes, I think, as to whether the measures that we take to protect ourselves actually make ourselves more or less secure. And that's the huge argument, isn't it? It's an argument with civil liberties, for instance. How far do you go? I think we just need to support our troops who are out there 100%, that they need to know that what they do matters to us. I think the sooner they're brought home, the better, to be honest. I don't think it's going to achieve what everybody wants it to achieve. And I'm just aware of the human cost of that. But if you then think about what it was like in Taliban times in Afghanistan, particularly if you were a woman, absolutely horrendous. So these are not simple issues, Les, are they?
What about the financial situation? Mm. Because at the moment, it's pretty grim.
Just,
but we get the feeling after May, March, whenever the election's going to be, that it's going to be far, far worse.
It will, yeah. I mean, absolutely, it's going to get worse. It depends who gets into power, doesn't it, really, and what values and what matters to them. I'm profoundly concerned by much of the Conservative rhetoric, which is about public service cuts. And I say that because, you know, I just go back to 1979 and, you know, a decade of social carnage that happened. You know, if anybody wants to remember what that was like, well, get the DVD of Brassed Off out, have a look at that. And, you know, you'll just see what happened in many, many communities when jobs were lost. We really have to find solutions which value the human and value the individual. And I'm not convinced myself that getting the debt down is actually as important as many seem to think it is. I think investing in public services, trying to, you know, sustain a more social and humane approach to what we do really matters. And just saying you're going to have swinging cuts, actually in a really unequal society like ours, when the wealthy are doing so well, you have to question that, Les, really, don't you?
Aren't the Tories, some would say, being honest, because they're saying this is where we're going? And, you know, I keep reading reports saying that the other parties will do exactly the same if they get in, but maybe they aren't quite so upfront about it.
I mean, there will be cuts. I mean, let's face it, yes, I mean, there are going to be. Everybody's saying that there are going to be cuts. But what level of cuts and how important is this budget deficit? How far do you need to get it down? You know, we need to look at other countries, look at ourselves comparatively. But it's the human cost that concerns me each and every time. You know, if you start going into wholesale redundancies, if we start slashing public services, who suffers? Who suffers? Well, it's not the wealthy who bankroll, you know, some of the parties, is it? You know, it's not the bankers who are going to suffer. It's not the people with two and three homes. It's not those who've got massive wealth and resources. It's always going to be the poor. It's always going to be the left outs. And they're the people that really matter at Christmas, because they're the ones at the heart of the gospel. So that's why, as churches, you know, we will stand up and we will ask some pretty sharp questions of anybody who seeks to devalue the dignity and integrity of folk. Now, there was a report came out before Christmas, was there not, by a right-wing think tank, which was talking about over a million job cuts, you know, slashing the NHS, etc., etc. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Because they come from that sphere of wealth and privilege that thinks like that. Actually, if you're poor, if you're unemployed, you know, if you haven't got a house, things look really different. And so it's for those whose voices are seldom heard, you know, that's what the church exists for, is to get people in dialogue and do the joined up thinking, which says, if you do this, these people are going to suffer. Let's try and actually find a way that is just if we're going to have to share the pain out. That's what really concerns me. And I don't think the wealthy bear their fair share of the country's burden. They actually find ways of getting out of it, don't they? You know, I won't be lectured by Zach Goldsmith on the environment, you know, when his father was a billionaire and he's a non-dom. No, excuse me, it doesn't work.
How are you going to get into this and engage? Because, I mean, the election will be very much soundbite today's press conference. That will be our topic of the day. And the papers will roll with this, won't they?
Oh, they will do, yeah, yeah. But in Lincolnshire, come
on. So how are you going to get your
message? Well, come on, Les, we're revolting in Lincolnshire. We don't go in a party line, do we, mate? Come on. What we'll do, I have no doubt that churches together in all Lincolnshire, the church leaders, we'll arrange hustings. We will put MPs on the spot. We will put candidates on the spot. And we'll make sure that local people get the chance in Lincolnshire to ask the really sharp questions of those who would seek to represent us. I think that's a very Lincolnshire thing to do, don't you?
OK, well, we'll pause for a moment there. That's the Reverend Dr. David Perry, who is chair of the Lincoln and Grimsby Methodist District.